We have ourselves a new location here on the Midnight Blue and Gold Launchpad Podcast. It is the Laser Light Recording Studio in White House, Ohio. Happy to have you with us. I'm Rocket Ryan Brandt.
And I am PJ Spiller, a.k.a. Pat Gillick. Great to have you with us this afternoon.
And we're sad to mention that Zach Powhide is not with us tonight. He's working, but we do have old reliable Kyle W. Smith, engineer, producer extraordinaire, spinning the dials and
making us sound great.
And what's it, the ones and the twosies?
The ones and the twos, and maybe sometimes the threes.
So, never the fours, though. But anyway, it's been a while since we've done this.
It has. It has. And for all of those out there listening to us, we thank you for sticking with us. We've had a childbirth. We've had quite a few little different pop-ups come up along. And so we're back at it. We're ready for the 2023 football season for Midnight Blue and Gold,
which starts in just 52 days in Champaign, Illinois, as the Rockets travel to take on the Big Ten Fighting Illini of Illinois.
You've got the countdown clock going.
I do. And a picture of Zach Ford, Max and Hook, they're in the picture. And it's just getting me fired up, ready and raring to go. And I know Max and Hook's parents, Matt and Amy, are big fans of the show. There have been many a trips to the old number 11 bus, too.
Absolutely. And hopefully they can listen to us and some of our episodes on their way to Illinois, which is our first game of the season. We kick off the campaign in Champaign.
And a little bit closer for them because they live in Indiana, so they don't have as far to go. I don't know. I'll have to ask them. But,
yeah.
But anyway, with that game coming up at Illinois, I think a very winnable game for the Rockets. Illinois, not exactly a world beater, and we are undefeated all time against Brett Bielema as a head coach.
Which is fantastic.
So 1-0 because of that 16-12 win down at Arkansas back in 2015, and then we'll be 2-0 after this win coming up on September the 2nd.
Honestly, I hope so, but I have been noticing quite a few different things online about Illinois' coaching staff. And some of the players they brought in, they're ranked in, depending on where you look, they're ranked a little bit higher than I would have expected as far as offensive coaching, as far as defensive coaching. So Brett has done a nice job of creating an atmosphere in Illinois where they're not about just getting through the season. They're actually trying to win some games for once, which is a change for that university, at least, in my opinion.
Yeah, you look back, Lovie Smith, that experiment didn't work. You go all the way back to Lou Tepper, who had a great defensive program, not really any offense. That was back in the 90s. Of course, Ron Zook was there for a while. You name it. Who was the shyster was there in the 80s that got him put on probation? Anyway.
And a former Rocket coach was there for a little bit.
That's right. Tim Beckman went out there and got into a little trouble for being too tough on the players, I think.
Yeah, you'll have that every now and then.
Right, right.
But anyway, that's our inaugural game of this season. So,
of course, we get closer to the season, we'll break that game down for you more.
Absolutely.
And go a little more in-depth with the nuts and bolts. But then home opener is an HBCU school, FBS opponent out of the SWAC, and that is Texas Southern. We don't know a whole lot about them.
No, we don't. But they had solid season last year. Ryan, tell us what you know about Texas Southern.
It used to be 1AA.
Right,
but
right.
Anyway, I want to say that, so I always have to make sure I put that in between the F and the S, make sure it's a B or a C. So FCS, Football Championship Series, which means they play a championship playoff.
Right, which is the way it should be in FBS.
Exactly. And that's another topic for another time and something we've talked about here in the past.
Absolutely.
But the last time we lost to a 1AA school, which is what they were then, was McNeese State on the road back when the MAC actually went on the road to play FCS schools. And that was a butt whooping in 1988, and we haven't lost since. And we've played some pretty good teams along the way.
Absolutely.
Eastern Washington came in here, and we beat them pretty good. I mean, of course, we struggled, but we did beat Tony Romo and Eastern Illinois.
Eastern Illinois, exactly.
And then New Hampshire's always a good team. We usually beat the crap out of them the couple times we played them. And
we had Troy up here when they were an FCS school.
And then and Elon, who, we played them that year. We beat them soundly, but then they went on to the FCS playoffs. So, hopefully this is a win that we can just, everybody can be out in the parking lot by halftime, of course, then come back in and buy some more concessions.
Well, of course. We've got to keep the program rolling. But that
next game I'm excited about.
It's to September 16th on a Saturday afternoon, San Jose State comes into town.
And the Spartans, we have a little bit of history with them. Of course, we go back to
California Bowl.
1981 California Bowl. We've talked about that before, but that was a heck of a San Jose State team. They were ranked 20th back before they had top 25s. It was just the top 20 back then. They beat both Stanford and Cal that year, only lost to Arizona State by a touchdown. And we went out there, got out to a big lead. San Jose State came back. And then, of course, Tony Lee, the pride of Fostoria, St. Wendland, blasting through that 41-yard field goal with no time left on the clock, and the Rockets get the victory to finish 9-3 on the season. So the thing I'm excited about, I would hope there's a lot of Rockets alumni that were on that team from 1981 coming back. And I can imagine seeing David Menifee there. Dave Walker will be there. Jack Laraway, Brett Milkey. Hopefully all these guys will be back and stop by the bus.
Absolutely. I think it'll be a great opportunity for all the former Rockets that were on that team to come back and, enjoy the atmosphere at the Glass Bowl. I think this team comes off of a mediocre season last year. I mean, not horrible. They played some big teams, but
yeah, they were 7-5 and they lost in the bowl game to Eastern Michigan. They played in the Potato Bowl. Eastern beat them pretty good, but Eastern was a pretty good team at the end of the year.
Yeah, they were.
And of course, Maxon Hook, we're going to bring him up again. He, the hero of that Eastern Michigan game up there, we won with Tucker Gleason, the backup quarterback.
Right.
And so that was a fun day. But yeah, San Jose, 7-5 last year. Went to Auburn, gave them a battle before losing 24-16.
I'd say they only lost by a few.
Yeah, and they clobbered Western Michigan on the road. 34-6. So this is a team, like you said, mediocre, up and down, just barely above mediocre, but still with that 7-5 record. Now you got to go back 2 years ago to that COVID season when everything was screwed up. They finished 7-1 that year, and they beat Boise State for the Mountain West title. Finished 25th in the country that year. So,
what do you think? What do you think about the COVID season? I mean, are some of those games? Almost, or some of those seasons, almost throwaway seasons.
I mean,
I've heard a lot of talk either way about it. It's like, you know, what teams had how many people on their squad and who was eligible for each game. It almost seems like that season should be a wash.
Yeah, well, the Rockets were 4-2 that year, losing those two games by, right. I think it was by a total of 5 points or something ridiculous like that. So, I mean, you know, it was a season. It was an anomaly of a season. Of course, the overreaction by everybody, but we won't go into that because there's so many people that get PO'd when you talk about certain things. So anyway, we'll move right along.
So the following weekend, September 23rd, the Western Michigan Broncos limp into town. I'm sorry. I say limp because if you look at any major publication or any major network that's giving any kind of prognostication on college football, Western Michigan is one of the worst teams in the nation at this point. And it seems such a sharp drop off from just a couple of years ago.
Well, you look back 2016, they went to the Cotton Bowl before losing by just 8 points to Wisconsin. But last year, I guess when you look at it, they were 5-7.
Right.
Did beat us up there. And, but
which still astounds me.
Yeah, that was a shocker. But they only have 10 starters back, 8 on offense, 2 on defense. So that might be where you're looking into it as far as, you know, not being really highly respected this year.
And they've had a coaching change in the last couple of years, so I mean, I'm sure it's taken some time for people to get on board and for him to get the right kind of players into his system.
Yeah, Lance Taylor, this is his first year. And so he's played, he played at Alabama, played with the Green Bay Packers for a little bit. So this is his first head coaching job. And it'll be interesting to see what he does when he comes in. He was actually the wide receiver coach for the Carolina Panthers, running back coach at Notre Dame, offensive coordinator at Louisville last year. So So he must know something about offense. And with those 8 starters back, you know, they could score some points, but they might have a hard time keeping people off the board.
Stopping anybody, which is a good omen for us. Because, I mean, we have a solid offensive squad coming back.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of returners.
16.
I mean, and a lot of different, you know, organizations have projected us as one of the better offenses in the MAC and probably the top defense in the MAC. So I think once we jump into that MAC schedule, it's going to be a real telling tale.
Yes.
As to how the rest of the season plays out. I mean, there have been a lot of projections of people saying, you know, ridiculously 11-1 or 10-2 is not ridiculous to me. Right. I think 10-2 is achievable.
Yes. Of course, you know, my dream of dreams, 13-0, New Year's 6 bowl game.
Right.
If we went out, I have a hard time keeping us out of there. But let's just, don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse.
No, exactly. Let's go to the next game, which will be Northern Illinois on September 30th.
Now, this is a team who, what's going on out there?
I don't know.
They were 3-9 last year after a 9-5 season the year before that. And a narrow loss in the Cure Bowl to Coastal Carolina. So you just, it's hard to tell what Thomas Hammack's doing out there. I do know that that loss back in 2019 was a dastardly loss, 31-28, when we kind of forgot how many timeouts we had left.
Right. And we should have dominated that team, actually.
So they went from 5-7 that year to 0-6 during the COVID year, 9-5, and then 3-9. So
how
up
do you go
down.
From 0-6 to 9-5 and then 3 wins?
Yeah. It's this is fifth year coming up here for Coach Hammack, and great running back in the day, but wonder how I don't know if the coaching thing is working out for him too much, but we'll find out.
Yeah, we will. I mean, I think that's another win in my opinion for the Rockets. And then they turn around and come back and play at UMass.
And of course, getting back to Northern Illinois real quick, that's homecoming. That ends our 4-week streak of our only Saturday home games. So at least the weather will be nice for those. So get out, get your tickets, and root on those Rockets. Let's get that attendance up before it dwindles from action.
Absolutely. And stop by the bus and see us.
That's right.
For those home games.
Stop by the bus and see us.
Exactly.
That should be
see us on the bus.
There you
I
go.
I think we need to have t-shirts made.
I like it. Kind of like see you at the game, see us on the bus.
Exactly.
I'll see if there's any trademark infringement there. And
we'll see what we can do, and we will let you loyal listeners know.
There you go.
So, October 7th, UMass, at Amherst, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
In McGurk Alumni Stadium. We're not playing in the Patriots Stadium.
No, so. They got out of that business. Of course, last time we played was back in 21. We go to UMass and beat them 45-7. That was a nice little butt kicking that year. And it was a lot of fun. And hopefully we can return the favor.
I hope we can, because unfortunately, again, UMass is one of the lower teams in the lower tier of Division I or FBS football.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we need to make a statement on both that game, the Western Michigan game. In all the games, we need to make a statement, which I think they will. But when it comes to teams like that, in my opinion, hopefully we can get them off our schedule in sometime in the near future.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for us. And
right.
It's just a long road trip, wastes a lot of gas.
Right.
and it's hard for us to drive there. So they should,
exactly.
They should be thinking of us first and foremost.
But
UMass, unless Dr. J is going to come. Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. J did play there, but they did have Victor Cruz. That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one great
the one
football
saving
player.
Grace for their football program. But what do they have? What do they bring back into this season? I mean.
Yeah, they not a whole lot there, Pat.
So basically, we could go out and play Perrysburg and get probably a decent, you know, equivalent game.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. I digress. We move on to a week later. We travel to Muncie, Indiana for the first real challenge in the Mid-American Conference season, the Ball State Cardinals.
And that is a team that, we've had troubles out there. It doesn't matter what
sport.
But especially in football, you know, you go back to 1997. We're ranked 18th, 8-0 in the country. And we just go out there and lay an egg, 35-3, I want to say it was. And then we never recovered after that.
Right.
And then, of course, in 2001, we lost a narrow one and still ended up in the top 25.
Was that the season that we beat Purdue?
2001 was the year that we killed Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah, and finished 10-2 that year and 24th in the country. So.
And lost to Ball State at Ball State.
Yes. So.
What is it about going to that stadium in Muncie that has our number?
No idea. Maybe the lack of crowd, but
we went there back in what, 2018?
It would have been an odd year, so it was 2015.
15. And we went and met your buddy down in Dayton.
Yes, Aaron Alter.
We'll give him the Ball State alum.
That's right. We'll have to tag him on the social media when we post this.
And that was a rough game. And it was windy, cold, rainy. But I mean, Ball State knows how to tailgate a little bit.
And that was a homecoming. That's the one thing I give Ball State. They do know how to homecoming. If that's a verb, they
okay, do know how to homecoming. It has just become a verb on our.
They do know how to homecome. Right. I don't know.
And they know how to put on a homecoming.
There you go. That's why you're here.
Anyway, we always seem to struggle at that stadium. I don't know what it is. No matter what the records are.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, we got drilled there back in 2019 after we lost at Bowling Green, and that was kind of the down. You know, the downward slope that we fell down. But Mike News there, he former quarterback, 8th year as his head coach there. They have 14 starters coming back this year. Now, interesting, they were 5-7 last year.
Okay.
And then 6-7 the year before that, including a loss to Georgia State in the Camellia Bowl. Now, you go back to 20, and that was one heck of a year for them. They ended up 23rd in the country. They were 7-1. That includes the MAC title game, beating Buffalo in that, and then going on to the Arizona Bowl where they clobbered San Jose State. So
that was in 20?
That was in 20, yes.
So the COVID season.
Exactly. So,
yeah, 7-1. But taking nothing away from them, I just think, are they a rival of ours that we don't consider a rival?
Because
they seem to get up for us damn year.
I think you're right. It's one of those things. I know, geographically speaking, I think, you know, there's a rivalry with Northern Illinois because they're in those states that start with I. I don't know.
Or the fact that they've always come and ruined our season, you know, 4 or 5 years out of the last 10. But, you know, Ball State, I think, that will be the first real challenge in the MAC for us.
Especially going on the road, like we said.
Absolutely. And then we turn around the week after that and travel down to Oxford, Ohio for the first time since...
The first time we've played them since 2011, and they came up here. And I don't even recall the last time we went down there.
Yeah, it's probably back in the 90s.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Because for some reason, the University of Miami at Oxford has been skirting the University of Toledo.
Yeah, they last met in 2011, and this is only the 12th meeting with them since 93, so 12th meeting in 30 years.
That's crazy.
Right, for two talent, you know, tradition-rich programs.
Yes, absolutely. You know, they used to be the cradle of coaches.
Right.
And now I kind of think we're becoming the cradle of coaches.
Yeah, I'd like to keep our cradle of coaches.
Yeah, I would like to keep them.
Okay, look back on them. Last year, they were 6-7. They ended up in the Bahamas Bowl, where they lost to UAB 24-20. So they did get to go bowling.
But is it just me, or were they like a sneaky 6-7? I thought they had some good wins last year.
Just looking at the schedule here, they did beat Northwestern.
Okay.
So there's that one. And then...
which Northwestern had a horrible year last year.
And right, 1-11.
As evident by Pat Fitzgerald just being recently let go.
Right, and I think it was a nice, convenient excuse when you,
right,
you know...
Right, with all the situations
that
were at hand.
Dig that up a little bit, and let's get rid of them. So who knows what really happened. We weren't in a locker room, but hope everybody can recover from that. But, you know, you look back, they were 7-6 in 21. That year, they beat North Texas in the Frisco Classic. 2-1. They only played 3 games back in 2020 because everybody was
COVID
popping COVID. And there were eight.
Popping COVID. That's the first time I've
heard. Popping positive, I guess you would say.
There you go.
And then 19, they were 8-6. And that included a Lending Tree Bowl berth, and they lost to Louisiana 27-17. And then back in 18, they were 6-6. So this is not your Ben Roethlisberger-led
no.
Or your days back when Rob Carpenter, Sherman Smith, and everybody was running wild down
right.
there in the 70s.
But they have been a solid program.
Yes. And they're expected to be one of the top two candidates in the East from what
exactly.
I've read.
Exactly. Yeah, I've seen them picked in the top two or three positions in the East. But my question is, why have they just denied us a game for so long? Was it our former athletic director?
No, I think it's the MAC. They just have a way of scheduling things. And, of course, with John Steinbrecher there, who I'm not a fan of, there's no method to the madness. It doesn't have anything to do with
so
anybody.
You really think it's just random?
It's allegedly.
Okay, allegedly.
I don't want to cast aspersions, but
exactly.
But yeah, I think that's what it is. It's random, but who knows? There might be some funny business going on in there as well.
And we'll look into that later. So we'll see what our investigative reporters can bring up.
What our crack staff, so to speak.
Exactly. So we move to October 31st, 10 days later. We have Buffalo visiting the Glass Bowl for the first time in a couple of years.
2018, I want to say, was the last time. Because Kim went to that game, and she doesn't go to many games.
Kim being your wife.
Yes, that's right. And she doesn't listen, so
yeah.
Maybe she will this time since we dropped her name.
There you go.
But Buffalo.
But so Buffalo comes to town.
And last year, they
and
you know,
it's Halloween.
It's Halloween. It's Maction.
In Maction, and unfortunately, you know, the Saturday games are over, and it starts getting cold and rainy, and that's one of those games where anything can happen. I know Buffalo has been a thorn in our side for the past couple of years, and they're bringing a little bit back to the table.
Yes, they are. They do have 10 starters, but their main guy is a guy by the name of Sean Dolak. He's an outside linebacker and just a wrecking machine on that side of the ball. And in fact, I will give him a shout out because his mom gave us some Jello shots before the game at Buffalo last year.
That's mighty kind of her.
Yeah, it is. That's mighty nice of her. But yeah, last year, of course, we went up there and blew a 27-17 lead in the fourth quarter. They beat us 34-27. Like I said, they have 10 starters back after a 7-6 season last year. They did win the Camellia Bowl. So they beat Georgia Southern by 2. And the good thing about that is it helped the MAC have the best bowl season.
Right.
Of any FBS.
The most wins of any conference in the FBS.
Yeah, best winning percentage. And funny thing about that is that, you know, we go 1-5, you know, people say, well, that shows you that the MAC sucks. We go 5-1. Oh, whatever.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, you got lucky.
Just play it off. Yeah, it's all luck. Unfortunately, that's the hand we were dealt in the Mid-American Conference. And you know what? People can say what they want, but we're still playing a damn good brand of football in this league, with the exception of maybe one or two teams. But looking forward, November 8th, it's a Wednesday.
So we got back-to-back Maction games, and this is an Eastern Michigan team that, you know, last year really came on. They kind of surprised people. They were 9-4. They killed San Jose State in the bowl game, 41-27, and just had a great overall season. They beat Arizona State. They got on the road 30-21. Got Herm Edwards fired in the end zone after that.
Not a bad win.
Not a bad win whatsoever. And, so they, you know, of course, Jose Ramirez, NFL draft pick this year, they'll be without him, which is good. Good for us. But,
right.
Last year, that was a heck of a game up there. Rockets beat them 27-24.
But it was not an easy game.
That
was a good game. And I am expecting Eastern to come back this year and come into the Glass Bowl and give us everything they've got. I think that's going to be your battle for the West.
Of course, Tucker Gleason played that entire game thanks to an injury to Daquan Finn. And then Maxon Hook with the interception. I'm going to let you know, we're not getting paid every time we say Maxon Hook. He's just a favorite of the show.
He is, absolutely. He's one of our favorite guys. And, you know, like we said, his parents listen, so we're not going to pump him up, but I think he does enough pumping up on his own.
He's been
well recognized around publications and different organizations for his skills. So I think he's going to be a shining star on defense this year.
And we will, I know we're going to talk about him in a little bit again.
Yeah, absolutely. So we look ahead to the day after my birthday, the following Tuesday, which I know, Ryan, you are armed for bear that this game should never be on a weeknight.
Still pissed off, I'm going to say it.
And it should not be in November. I agree with you. It should be in October. It should be our homecoming game.
It should be, if not our homecoming game, the MAC opener in September. Just
right.
Make it to when all the students are in school and everybody can get to the game.
Right.
Because
November 14th, we go down to Dwight Perry Field and play the Bowling Green Falcons.
And Bowling Green, an interesting squadron. I never used that word on
squadron.
This podcast.
Wow, that reminds me of what was that show in the 80s?
Black Sheep Squadron. Robert, the guy knocked the battery off. Robert Conrad, right?
Robert Conrad.
Yeah, look at us going old school here.
Great show. And then for all those listeners out there, go ahead and give us a message about your memories of Black Sheep Squadron.
And to the kids listening out there, no, it was not in black and white. It was in color.
No, it was in color, and it was about just a bunch of black sheeps flying planes.
Ask your parents about it.
Exactly.
But yeah, Bowling Green last year, 6-7, made a bowl game for the first time since 2015. They lost to New Mexico State up at the Quick Lane Bowl at Ford Field, 24-19. But, you know, watched some of that game. They played well. And this year, Scott Loeffler has 13 starters back, 8 on offense, 5 on defense. So, you know, it's always a good battle when these two schools get together. And even though it's on a weeknight, you have to be excited about it.
I mean, I was really surprised by their season last year. They had a solid season. They lost quite a few players in the transfer portal, which I think that happens to every team.
Mm-hmm.
They picked up a few as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, that's, I'm not even going to say the cliche. You know, once these two teams get together,
you throw the records out.
Okay, that's why I let you say it.
Thank you. Yes, it was a weird season. I appreciate that.
Yeah, anyway, you know, it was a weird season for them. They were up, they were down. I mean, they went out and they had some big wins.
Well, they went to UCLA and hung with them for the first half, ended up losing 45-17. Then they come home and lay an egg against FCS Eastern Kentucky in 7 overtimes, if my readers are working here. 59-57. But then
they turn around.
That same day that they were losing to Eastern Kentucky, Marshall went to Notre Dame and beat them.
Yeah, who they had beaten previously.
And then Marshall comes to town. And
not previously.
Yeah, Bowling Green beats them the next week.
Yeah, which is kind of a huge anomaly. I mean, that's why they play the game.
That's exactly right. And 42-35, they beat us up here in front of Dave Portnoy and 20,027 people, which we were lucky to get that. I think it had a lot to do with Barstool coming to town.
Barstool came to town. It was a rainy weeknight. And I think thank you, Barstool Sports, for coming to town, because otherwise there'd have been about 6,000 people there probably.
Ish,
yes.
Of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Fremont Ross, little giant Dontrez Brown, starting defensive tackle, 6'3", 295, and met him a couple times, good kid, and according to coaches and teachers, a good kid as well. So
gotta like it.
Hopefully he does well, but Rockets better.
Right, he's wearing the wrong colors, but you can't fault the guy. So that takes us to our next game. It is at Central Michigan at noon on November 24th. I'm guessing
that's Black Friday,
the day after Thanksgiving.
Black Friday and a trip up there. Interesting matchup. Central, what another up and down team. You know, they have Jim McElwain, former Florida head coach, went 4-8 last year, following a 9-4 season the year before that. 3-3 in 2020. 8-6 in 19, and they were 1-11 back in 18. So this is a team that this is his fifth year for McElwain. He has 13 starters back, 9 on defense, the rest on offense. And they were kind of a weird season last year. They go to Oklahoma State, lose 58-44, so they put a lot of points up there.
Right.
But then after that, they kind of crapped the bed, as they kids like to say. And we beat them 38-17 here in the Glass Bowl.
Yeah, Central's is kind of a hard team to figure out. I mean, they had a great running back last year who got drafted high in the NFL draft. But other than that, they didn't bring a lot to the table, but they still had some decent wins. So it's kind of hard to figure where they're coming from, you know. And like you said, yeah, they have, you know, 13 returning starters. So we'll see what that game brings. It's the last game of the season. It's up in Central Michigan at the end of November. So weather could definitely play a factor in that game.
You know, it's funny too, because you look back at that 21 season, they went 9-4, and they ended up in the Sun Bowl due to their team not having enough eligible players in their bowl game, and in Washington State looking for an opponent. And so it ended up working out for the MAC, and Central comes away with a 24-21 win.
I know, not a bad, you know, mark on your schedule. For
not
sure.
At all, not at all. So then after that, of course, we have the MAC Championship, which hopefully we'll be playing in, and then a bowl game.
It'll be nice to be up there again for the second year in a row.
And if we don't get there, it would be very disappointing.
Absolutely. So I think that you know, looking at the schedule overall, my prediction is 10-2. I'm feeling solid about that. I think we've got a lot of returning players. We've got a great scheme going on offense and a fantastic scheme going on defense.
Yeah.
You look at our defensive squad. We've got so many returning starters that are just bringing many accolades to the table.
Yeah.
We lost a couple of people in the transfer portal on offense, but we also brought in a few players on the transfer portal. Got a guy from Maryland who's going to be a nice defensive end, hopefully.
Rutgers wide receiver.
Yep, a Rutgers wide receiver who's a big guy, you know, can go up and, you know, high point the ball and make some nice catches. We lost Blankensee to the transfer portal, but we bring back a solid receiving squad. Jacquez Stewart in the backfield and Daquan Finn as, you know, our starter. I think it's going to be a good year for the Toledo Rockets, not only in the MAC, but overall.
Now, on defensive side, of course, we have Terrence Taylor, friend of the show. He is back, along with Dallas Ganton. Dan Bolding, hopefully, he will be able to stay healthy this year.
Stay healthy, yes.
That's a guy who's a wrecking machine when he can stay healthy. So, yeah, that's pretty much a quick before camp look at your Toledo Rockets and their season coming up. So anyway, I think you know this about me. We talked about this last year. I absolutely love Phil Steele's College Football Magazine. Actually, the official name of it, Phil Steele's College Football 23 Preview.
And it was a very early stocking stuffer from you to Ryan, or Kyle and myself last year, which we really appreciate. His magazine is endless. I mean, they work on it all year round, and he has a staff that is meticulous in everything they do. And I think I know where you're going with this.
Yes.
Because they have a very nice prognostication for the upcoming season.
So, yes, according to Phil Steele, coming into this season, you may have seen it on Twitter. It's been tweeted out numerous times, but the Rockets are ranked 22nd in the preseason poll by Phil Steele. Here's what he has to say about him. Rockets are not in my top 25 in my power poll, but have the most talented team in the MAC led by quarterback Daquan Finn. They have 16 returning starters, an underrated defense, and a schedule set up for double-digit wins. So there you go. While in the power rankings, they're only 53rd, according to him, but that's based on strength of schedule and things like that, but just based on overall, you know,
again,
talent coming back.
That's where UMass and Western being ranked so low hurts us in the power rankings. But you know what? Power rankings don't mean squat.
Yep. You got to go out and take care of business.
Exactly. Go out and win your games and move on to the next, and we'll be all good. I have a good, solid feeling about this season.
Now, he also ranks the top 75 players by position. Maybe not every position, but some of them, like guards, are the top 40. But in your top 75, he has Daquan Finn at number 62, probably because of his size. You know, these are draft eligible players, I should say.
Right.
So he may not be one of those guys that people look to draft, but look at the guy down at Cincinnati a couple years ago. UC, what was his name? That guy. Anyway, what was that, Kyle? Yeah, Desmond Ridder.
Desmond Ridder.
Thanks, Kyle. See, he's a wealth of knowledge. He's not just here for his good looks. So, yeah, thanks, Kyle. But, yeah, so, I mean, he was kind of an unknown quantity coming out, and then he took him to the college football playoff.
Exactly.
And so, you know, he has a big year. Who knows? He could just climb up that ladder.
I mean, if you talk to some of the players from Notre Dame and some of the players from Ohio State that had to play against Daquan Finn, they're not worried about his size. They worried about what he did to them.
Exactly.
So, I mean, Drew Brees played in the NFL for how many years at 5'10"? So,
right. Yeah, he could sling it.
Yeah, he can sling it. And you've got a guy with the kind of decision-making that Daquan Finn has, his speed, his ability to break down the play and extend it to the outside. I mean, he brings a lot to the table.
He sure does. And it's a guy who, you know, when he came into action back in 21, it was a guy who, you know, with our offensive line being a little down, he was a guy that could make things happen when that line did break down.
Yeah. And then we've got a great returning offensive line this year with Tyler Long, you know, a friend of the show. We hope to have on soon.
Future. I mean, he's a friend of the show, but future guest, I guess you could say. Yeah.
Hopefully have him on soon. And I think they're going to be able to do a good job protecting him this year.
On the defensive side of the ball, there's nobody else on offense that he has ranked as a top draft eligible player. But you look at the inside linebacker, Dallas Gant, 6'3", 235 pound, had a great year last year, led the team in tackles. Ohio State transfer, this is his senior year. Of course, he's a grad student this year. So,
he's due for an outstanding year.
And then you have at top 58 cornerbacks. I don't know why he quit 58. Maybe that's all he had room on the page for. Wow. But he has Quinyon Mitchell, last year, All-American, second team in Phil. It's weird. He was second team in Phil Steele. He was also second team Walter Camp and second team Pro Football Focus, third team AP.
Right.
But he has him fourth team on in his this year. So I don't know what the thinking is there, but
Maybe there's some other kids that are coming up that he thinks has more skills than him, but maybe Quinyon will be out there, you know, trying to prove something.
And then
he had a hell of a year last year.
Oh, my gosh. That's, of course, highlighted by the four-pick game at Northern
Boston,
Illinois.
Northern Illinois, yep.
The only game I did not attend last year, by the way.
Yeah, we sat there and watched that, and it was just like, are you kidding me? Another pick.
They might want to watch out for him.
They might want to.
And he has the top 40 strong safeties, and our boy again, Maxon Hook, he's ranked 22nd on that list, 6'1", 210-pound senior out of East Palestine. Is it New? No, it's New Palestine, Indiana.
New Palestine, or yeah. Palestine.
Now, East Palestine is where all the shit happened with the train, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, East they're Ohio. New Palestine.
They're New Palestine. So they're
not to be confused with the old Palestine.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Nonetheless, different state.
Different state, different pronunciation, and a different
kind of player.
Exactly. And then here's a surprise. On top 25 punt returners, Adam Beal, the pride of Springfield, walk-on.
Look at this guy.
They have him 23rd. He's a 5'8", 185-pound, or 165-pound. My readers were not working there. 165-pound senior, but, you know, it was a guy who, at the early part of the season,
he struggled,
had a few fumbles, had some bad fair catches inside the 5-yard line. But after that, after he got his footing, he turned things around.
After he got his crap together, he turned it on. I'm sure that had a little bit to do with the coaching. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, guy, come on. Inside the 5 and you're fair catching, let it go.
Right.
But as our co-host Zach Pauhida says, he's our guy. You know, he's really turned it on towards the end of the season, like you said, and it's great that he's getting some good looks coming into the season. We can only hope for the best for him. I think he'll be a strong addition to the special teams unit.
And here's a little tidbit for you. His sister, Allie, is a member of the UT Rocket dance team, the Dancing Rockettes.
Something you could find out nowhere else but here at the Midnight Blue and Gold Launchpad Podcast.
And that's why we continue to bring high-quality program to you, not each and every week, but once football starts, each and every week.
Oh, absolutely.
Sporadically in the offseason.
Now that we are here in the Laser Light Studios, look for nothing but better quality programming, better podcasts from all of us, and we are thankful to Ryan to give us the opportunity to be here.
Okay, Kyle, are we still sponsored by Highland Appliance?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so yeah, in addition to Laser Light Recording Studio, the Midnight Blue and Gold Launchpad Podcast, brought to you in part by Highland Appliance, everything you've never expected from an appliance store.
And more.
So with that in mind, we're going to take off. Hopefully you enjoyed hearing us again. Hopefully we'll get Zach back in here and we'll get some guests so you don't have to hear us ramble on for a long time. But on behalf of engineer-producer Kyle W. Smith, I'm Rocket Ryan Brandt.
And I am PJ Spiller, a.k.a. Pat Gillick.
T-O-L.
E-D-O.